Man, this league just doesn't miss. Another wild Sunday of NFL football next. This episode of the Educated Ignorance Podcast is brought to you by the For Frequency Sake Podcast Network. Subscribe to the For Frequency Sake Podcast Network on your favorite podcast platform for the newest episodes of The Data Lab with Professor John Bush and Dennis Mickelson, as well as new episodes every week of Card Subject to Change, our new wrestling podcast with CZ and Nick. And three times a week, releasing episodes on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Fridays, the Educated Ignorance Podcast. On Mondays, you will get full breakdowns of the Sunday night football game, as well as a couple quick-hitting topics from some of the NFL action on Sunday. Tuesday will be a quick-hitting reaction of the Monday night football game, as well as a full slate review of the Sunday games, the biggest and broadest topics from the weekend of football, as well as some college football stuff. And, of course, that Tuesday will be the Elite Eight episode each week for the NFL season, where we reveal the top eight teams, according to myself, in the NFL. And then on Friday, we will be releasing each week a big kind of preview for the weekend's games coming up, as well as the Sinister Six podcast every week with Mac Fulton. He will be joining us every week for the Sinister Six, a joint venture of NFL games and college games throughout the year. Our best six picks of the weeks. We will also have some betting stuff in there as well, against the spread, over-unders, things like that. So stay tuned for those three episodes a week of the Educated Ignorance Podcast here on the For Frequency Sake Podcast Network. All right, so listen, I'm honestly going to spend a small portion of this podcast episode talking about that Sunday night game. There's so many other great games that happened today and more interesting things to talk about that happened. I think it's worth your time, my time, everyone's time if we get to those instead. But there's two points that I want to hit on in this game. And if there's an echo, I'm sorry. We just moved in to the new place and the room I'm in is a bit echoey. Might try to find ways to subdue it eventually. We'll do what we can. We got to put some stuff on the walls and whatnot, but it's early. It's very early. So here's the thing about this Bears-Packers game is we learned nothing about Green Bay, and here's what I mean by that. Now, a couple things that I do feel like are things that need to improve for the Packers. Just the ones that we were wanting to learn about, kind of how we obviously want to see what happens when things get tough for this team, because that's when we find stuff out about them. You know, that's what we're wondering. Can they answer the bell in those types of ways? That's what they have struggled to do, is do just that, is answer the bell when the chips are down. This Packers team tonight got down early, but they were comfortable the entire game. The Bears defense struggled big time. They couldn't tackle whatsoever, and the Packers were able to get to the edge multiple times. Tonight, we saw Christian Watson struggle a few times. Maybe that's something, I don't know. But for Green Bay, the running backs are, as I've said before, the running backs are this team. This is their identity. Jones and Dylan are going to go into each week and get nearly 20 touches each, and they're going to combine for 200 to 300 yards, depending on what, depending, you know, just how everything works. And it's mind-boggling, you know, that people are here's the problem. People are going to take today for Green Bay and spin it as this beautiful thing, and, oh, they fixed it. No, this is what happens. Nick Wright said it best when talking about, you know, taking Green Bay and the points today. He said, this is one of those games where everything looks great for Rodgers in your mind and how good he is. Now, Rodgers wasn't great, but he didn't have to be because the running backs and the offense was so good because they were just so much faster than the Bears. The Bears' defense looked so slow in this game. The positive thing that I will like say I'm really pleased with for Green Bay is their commitment, honestly, to running the football. They know that that's what is going to drive them. But I can't sit here and consistently say that I think this Green Bay team is going to be great until I see them answer the bell in certain moments, in certain games. It's going to, like last year, that Niners game early in the year for me was a moment that I was like, all right, I needed to see that. Now, oddly enough, the Niners is who ended their season, you know, in the playoffs. But I need to see Green Bay when you can't just throw the ball to Alan Lazard or Sammy Watkins, who had a really good night tonight. Let's call a spade a spade. And Dylan and Jones are getting mucked up a bit. Is he going to be able to trust Dobbs? Is he going to be able to trust Watson? Is he going to be able to make plays? Like, is this offense going to work? I don't know. I need to see it. So tonight, it's why I say I didn't learn anything from Green Bay. What I'm really impressed with them still is how great their defense is, especially flying downhill. Rasul Douglas pretty much is now playing their nickel slot position their nickel corner position, and he is fantastic. Jair, of course, was good tonight. The thing is, as you compare it to the Bears' offense, it is just gross. The Bears' offense right now, it has no, like, I can't say it has no direction because clearly in the second half they showed you, all right, we're just going to pound the rock. But, man, that second quarter was abysmal. Outscored 21-0. You're pretty much pinned inside your own 20 the entire amount of time you had the ball. They ran 16 plays in the first half. Couldn't sustain any drives other than that opening drive, which was good. But they showed in the second half they could run the ball. And I do think that for the Bears, there's still stuff to kind of go through throughout the year. The question is going to be, where can Justin Fields make strides? Because I'm going to say this today, and a lot of people are going to – this must just be a, you know, it's – let me pause. I'm obviously a fan of the Bears. I'm also a fan of the Dolphins. We're going to talk about the Dolphins here in a second because their game today was batshit. Dolphins fans give Tua no fucking pass. Is it like – are Dolphins fans just rough? Are Bears fans just wanting to give? Like, I think Fields has the potential and the capability, but tonight he was bad. He was really bad. He gets to the back foot and he holds on to the ball too long. I know, like, here's the thing. So either Fields has to just start getting the ball out, forcing the ball into windows, like trust that he can force the ball into windows. Or the offense needs to start fucking scheming stuff to give him quick and easy throws. That's what I always say. But then you get countered with people saying, well, you know, the Bears feel like they can't trust him to get the ball out quick. If that's the case, he's not a fucking NFL quarterback. He's done. That's just the case. I don't think that's the case, though. I think he is an NFL quarterback. I think he is a quality starter in this league. So those things need to happen. Quick, scheme easy throws. Scheme stuff to make his life easier. It's not that hard. This league isn't that hard. And if Fields can't figure it out, then fuck him. He's done. But they have a bad and slow and not real, like, capable wide receiver room. They have guys, like, each of these guys that they have are good at their own thing. And I think Mooney's solid. But this is now two games and Mooney's got, what, two catches? I didn't see him. I don't think he even had one tonight. There is no fundamental stuff in this passing game. He threw like 12 passes tonight. That whole drive they had where they got to the doorstep before the, you know, they ran it from the gun and got stuffed, which I'm not going to go into because it's just annoying. Like, there's no point. At the end of the day, they lost by 17, you know. It would have made a difference. Like, the regardless. All of these things with the Bears, this receiving core they have, they can't get open. So you got to scheme easy throws. You got to scheme quick stuff. And if it's the case of Fields can't get the ball out quick, then he's not a fucking NFL quarterback. That's the end of the day. Then we need to figure out how to move on. They don't trust him? Well, then shit happens. See you later, man. We need to start game planning for something else. Like, I understand the O-line's bad. I understand the receivers are bad. Fields is young. The point of a young quarterback is to try to scheme him easy plays. And that whole second quarter was just constant. If when he would pass, it'd be either play action or deep 5 to 7 step drop, and he's just patting the fucking ball. Like he's got a 24-second shot clock in basketball. Just has all day to get it off. And he doesn't. He doesn't. And they need to figure that out, man. It's so annoying to watch. It's just so frustrating. And, oh, it's the play calling. Oh, it's the O-line. It's the receivers. Well, maybe. Very well. Could be. But, like, then we have to recognize someone fucked up. Well, it's the receivers can't get open. All right, then Ryapol's fucked up by not going after any. Oh, well, blah, 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 O-line. All right, same thing. All of these different things. You know? I do believe that we're in week two. They play Houston next week. Very high possibility of a win. Then they play the Giants. Another high possibility of a win. There's a real chance this team can start 3-1. Three of what might be six wins tops. I'm just saying, the point of this year is to see development. And when you have nights like tonight, where you're literally just not throwing the ball, development's not there. And that's a little frustrating to me. Everything else about this team, honestly, right now, other than this is going to be odd. With this team, outside of schematics, and I'm not even saying schematics in a bad way. I'm just saying, like, what they are doing, because what they're either able to do or what they feel their players are capable of doing, and just roster talent. I like the process. I like how they've been coached. The more I do sitting down and think about it, I think Poles has done some smart stuff in how he's handled things and how he's got players. You know, I think Brisker was a great draft pick. I think Kyler Gordon has potential. It's a tough fucking night for him, man, but guess what? That's the NFL. Welcome to the NFL, kid. My fucking phone keeps going off. Welcome to the NFL, bud. That's the type of shit that happens in this league. And listen, there's going to be moments when this team hopefully finally just, and it fucking flips and they have a big one. We'll see. Better. Like, there needs to be the moments that are better than last year. And through two games, tonight was not demoralizing because it was what I expected it to be. They were rattled. Packers defense was out flying everywhere. Bears ran the ball real well. They were able to sustain drives. It was mainly because Green Bay made mistakes. They were able to sustain drives in the second half to have a chance, like late third quarter, early fourth quarter. And mainly it was off of Packers' mistakes, but that happens in the league. Sometimes you can't stop a team, but the team just fucking gives you the ball sometimes. That shit happens in football. All right? But the one thing that's frustrating as a Bears fan, it's not... Okay, here, this is true. The one thing that's frustrating as a Bears fan is that I'm tired of watching their games and they look different than any other game in the NFL. Watching the Bears is like watching a high school team. And I need to see different. I need to see something different. Soon. And it's just the style they play, the personnel they currently have, etc. I want to see this team look like an NFL team. I haven't in 5 years. Maybe. But I bet if I probably did a deep dive on that 2018 team's film, it would look more high schoolish. Just the fact that they were winning hit it. All right, I'm going to take a break. I'm tired of talking about the fucking Bears and the Packers. We're going to talk about really fun football next. In addition to bringing fire on the mic, the team at 4Frequency Sake is still bringing it online as well. Check out ForFantasySakeQC.com this season for college DFS, Survivor League, and betting advice each and every week of this football season. Again, that is ForFantasySakeQC.com for college DFS, Survivor League, and betting advice each week during the football season. Oh, baby, let's start talking about fun football. Today's slate was Day of the Comeback, and the witching hour for both the first slate and the second slate got absolutely bananas. All right, we're going to deep dive into these two games, and then we'll do quick hitters. We got about five other ones other than that. I will say this, we're not going to have a college roundup tomorrow because luckily there's two Monday night games. Tomorrow night we're just going to do the two Monday night games and the Elite Eight. There's going to not be a college roundup because I didn't really get to watch too much college football this weekend. So, anywho, let's talk about some real good stuff. All right, easily the game of the day, Ravens. All right, the Dolphins dig themselves a hole, but a lot of it was getting in their own way and bad turnovers and bad mistakes and leaving points on the field. This game, honestly, could have been the way the defense stood up for the Dolphins. This game could have been, they could have scored 63 points. The Ravens could not stop them whatsoever. This Dolphins offense right now is absolutely humming. And there's a lot of consistent inconsistencies. There's a lot of stuff that's absolutely solid, and we'll get to those. For real quick, I want to start with the Ravens side. Lamar Jackson's a freak, and he is one of the, obviously, the best players in the league. The Baltimore Ravens need to pay this man, because if they do not, it is going to look really bad. And he is going to walk, and he is going to go to another team. Maybe even the Dolphins, just saying. Maybe not. We'll get to that. He will walk to another team. He will make them great. And if they're already great, he will make them a champion. And that this Baltimore team will be sitting with their dicks in their hands, thinking and realizing how stupid they look. They need to pay this man. Lamar Jackson's nuts. The stuff he was doing throughout this game, the stuff he did, he has done his entire career, he is one of one. There has never been a player like him in the league. There will never be another player like him in this league. 400 plus yards today, 300 in the air, 419 on the ground. He is amazing. And right now, the thing is, this Ravens team doesn't have deep threats. They don't have any other rushing attack that isn't him. It is all him. And he almost pulled off a win against a really good team today by himself. Whew, let's get to Miami. All right. There's a lot of stuff with this Dolphins team so far through 2 weeks. I thought last week it was slightly unimpressive because it was like, okay, you put up 20-1, but maybe if Tua was better or if you had a quarterback that was better, you probably win that game like 35-7, 42-10, something like that. This game was very up and down, and a lot of Miami beating themselves, leaving points on the field, throws that were missed to where they left stuff out there. What the Dolphins did today was honestly the resiliency, the comeback, extremely impressive. They just kept playing, and they knew that they, as long as they could find ways to get stops, they were going to be fine and be able to score. Here's the thing with the Dolphins defense right now. I think it was a bad day for Xavier Howard. It was a bad day for their pass rush. No one was really getting home at all. But in the fourth quarter, man, they nutted up. Xavier Howard could have had a pick six I don't know if it would have been to tie it or give them the lead. I think it was the drive the Ravens went down and got a field goal. But like the Dolphins of last year, Dolphins teams between Dan Marino and today do not win this game today. Even with like the comeback. The Ravens, when they went down after the Dolphins tied it, that Ravens team would end up scoring a touchdown or being able to get enough yardage to milk the clock and end the game without the Dolphins getting the ball back. The Dolphins showed so much resiliency today, man, and so proud of their effort from that group. Offensively, the stuff with Tua. Right now, the issue with him is he needs to realize that he doesn't have the juice to try to fit balls into windows. Like, listen, I know I want to see quarterbacks not just sit there and pat the ball and try to there's obviously a difference between NFL Open and College Open. He's really accurate. He's really pinpoint, but he just doesn't have the juice to put the ball into spots to be dangerous with the football. He was, if you just look at the raw numbers, obviously, for him today, they're batshit crazy. 36 for 50, 470 yards, 6 touchdowns. It's stupid. It's stupid, his numbers, man. Like, today's numbers for Tua were crazy. There's a lot of scheme stuff that right now for the Dolphins is balling. And we'll get to that in a sec. But for Tua, I feel like the thing for him right now, man, with this team, I really do believe you see Tyree going out of his way all the time to prop him up. And this team, I do really think, is behind him. And he obviously, even though he says corny stuff, his coach believes in him and will let him go out there and do things. Last year, that wasn't the case. And Mike McDaniel right now, man, is a wizard. The stuff they're scheming up, the things they're doing to get matchups, they are putting him and putting this offense, which is loaded with weapons. Dolphins fans, when have we ever seen a team this loaded on offense? Ever? I don't think so. Okay, hyperbole time. Real quick. They easily have the best 1-2 punch in the league at receiver. It's not close. It is not close. Tyreek Hill is the most dangerous weapon in the NFL. He is one of the most dangerous weapons in NFL history. Jaylen Waddle already is top 10, top 15 receiver in the league. It is not debatable. These two dudes together with a legit offensive scheme, a legit offensive coach, a guy maximizing Tua Tagovailoa at every turn, they are killers, man. They're killers. And they have solid tight end play. They have a couple good running backs. They're able to just make stuff happen. And they're able to do stuff schematically that is just so innovative and so crisp and so, so good. So impressed with this Dolphins team. The fight they had to be able to come back. And again, even after the Ravens kicked that field goal, Tua from a year ago doesn't make that comeback, doesn't make the drive, have the poise to be able to make the throws. Now, listen, a lot of people are going to be like, well, you know, Tyreek and Jaylen Waddle are running wide open down the field and may blah, blah, blah. You still got to make the throws, man. It isn't easy. It is not fucking easy. I dare you to go watch Saturdays and see college quarterbacks that everyone thinks is good. Like Taylor Van Dyke, shout out to him, missing wide open dudes all over the field. I dare you to go watch that and tell me how easy it is to hit open players in football, hit open receivers. There's NFL quarterbacks that miss wide open guys. Tell me how easy it is to hit open guys in the NFL. You got to make the throws, man. And the ability for him to do so, and the stuff they're doing to optimize every inch of this offense, this offensive line, they've put better pieces in there with Armstead and Williams, and the certain guys are developing. It's not great, but they're making their way, and they're maximizing every single thing. It is beautiful. Absolutely beautiful for this Dolphins team. The ceiling, I don't know. It's too early, man, but this team is absolutely one of the better teams in the AFC. This team is absolutely a threat to win each and every single week they play because of the dudes they have on that field, because of the coaches they have on that sidelines. Both sides of the ball, by the way, when I'm talking dudes on that field. Howard and Jones and Holland, Phillips and Ingram. High-level players all over that defense. Man, offense, obviously, with Tua, who's improving and taking some strides, you know, and they're maximizing him. He's just got to not make those crucial mistakes. And obviously, Tyreek and Jalen Waddle, Gesicki, who's has his moments up and down, but he still can make great plays. That touchdown he had in the third to cut it to 35-21 was a hell of a catch. Hell of a catch. And then Edmonds, Mostert, like, they've committed a lot of things right now, and it is great to see it pan out. What a game. What a comeback by Miami. And they play the Bills next week. It doesn't get easier, but welcome to the NFL. It does not get easier. But I will tell you this, for the first time in a while, I'm really jacked up about that Miami Dolphins team. That was... Whew! Got the blood pumping. That was impressive to see today, and that was really good stuff. All right, Cardinals-Raiders. I want to talk about this, too. We went out of our way a lot to shit on the Cardinals, hand up, talking about me. I don't know where they're going to end up. They have the talent to, you know, end up. They could compete for a playoff spot, maybe, if things go right. They have the talent to win on any Sunday. Their coaching holds them back. Some of their decision-making holds them back. But I'll say this, man. They were down 20-0. And that little man that plays quarterback for them, Kyler Murray, man, that kid's got heart, he's got balls, and he is a gamer. And the resiliency he had, the throws that he was able to make, was impressive. They were able to do stuff throughout the second half to just chip away, chip away, chip away, chip away. And the Raiders were ineffective of sustaining drives. They were ineffective at running the ball. They couldn't fend off, and then eventually, like, it wasn't an onslaught by Arizona. It just kind of ended up happening, and Arizona was able to win. I wanted to kind of mainly touch on the ceiling for both of these teams, because I'm at the point now where I don't really know how high it is. There's factors that I definitely know what will get in their way. First, for Las Vegas, their O-line is pitiful. And they are still very undisciplined. 10 more penalties today. Their defense, honestly, I thought today they did about as good of a job as you could get for the amount of snaps that they took inside their red zone on that last drive. It's just the clock never kept moving, and the Cardinals got chance after chance after chance after chance after chance after chance after chance, and they eventually, the dam broke. And then obviously offensively, that's just a brutal way to lose it. You're driving after you get an initial stop, and then you fumble it, and Byron Murphy takes it back to the house. Third thing right now, man, is they gotta be more balanced, and they have to have the ability to have, where in a game like this where you have it in control, you're up 20-0 after the first quarter. And then after that, it's just a... Or in the, at 20-0 at halftime, I should say. And then the second half is just a whole lot of nothing. Outside of the 8-play, 68-yard drive you had for a field goal to go up 23-7, you're just not sustaining drives. And you're not milking too much time off the clock. And the Cardinals are just running play after play after play. And they ran 17 more plays than you guys did. And held the ball for 8 more minutes. And those types of things add up. And for Vegas, the route for them is to get more consistent, get more balanced, and there's wins out there for them. For Arizona, the problem for them really is coaching. And they start so slow. They just look like an undisciplined, bad, poorly coached team with how they start slow, how many penalties they take, with how lackadaisical they look at times, how sometimes it seems like they just fold easily. And there's just not a lot of stuff for this team that screams confidence for me. I'm still not super high on them, but I wanted to touch on the note here of how good they were and how resilient they were today with Kyler. He's a gamer, man, and I think this team can get wins. And it's in spite of a lot of stuff, but a lot of it has to do with the fact that they employ one of the 10 to 12 best quarterbacks alive, but one of the 14, 15 best quarterbacks alive in Kyler Murray. Because when he's on, man, he's special. He's absolutely special. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We're going to do some quick hitters from around the league today here next on the pod. With baseball playoffs right around the corner, over a month away, and the NFL and college football seasons right on our tail, it's the perfect time of year to get your daily fantasy sports life in order. For Frequency's sake has you covered every single week. Tune in to For Frequency's sake's DFS Deep Dive on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch every Friday evening, and uploaded every Saturday morning on your favorite podcast platform, where Brian and the boys will be giving you the best daily fantasy sports advice for each and every week to help you fatten your wallet this season. Again, on every Friday night live on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch, and of course uploaded on your favorite podcast platform on Saturday mornings. DFS advice, DFS deep dive here on the For Frequency's Sake Podcast Network. For Fantasy's Sake has teamed up with Route 96 Boutique to raise a little more cash for Toys for Tots this season. From September 11th until the end of November, 10% off of all purchases made with Route 96 on Sundays will be donated to us for our Toys for Tots drive. At Route 96, they believe in girl power. They want a place that people of all shapes and sizes can shop and feel empowered and beautiful. They want you to be the best you possible, and they are committed to bringing you different styles while also providing some basics to express the true you. You can find them on Facebook and at Route96Boutique.com. Again, that's Route96Boutique.com. All right, let's do some quick hitters. So I got five games here that I want to lofty through. Let's start Colts-Jags. Hey, Jags. Big up to the Jags today. 24-0 win over Indy. Very impressive. Couple things of note. Trevor Lawrence, very. We round of applause for a performance like that. Very crisp. So much better than last week. He was on time, on target. It felt like from last week to this week, he understood the offense so much more. He was able to fix all the accuracy issues that he had in week one. 16 for the Jags, was hooping today. Started, I think, that first drive they had, 8 for 8. He was perfect. He was amazing. Their defense needs some work. Had some help today because of all the guys the Colts were missing at wide receiver. We're going to get to the Colts in a second. But they still got good players and players that I like. Trayvon Walker still playing really well. And I believe this defense is going to, you know, take some time. Devin Lloyd, too. Shout out to him. I loved him at Utah. Really thought he would be a high-level pro. When they drafted him in that first round, I was really like, ooh, big ups to that. And I think that they are very happy with the progression they've had of their defense and the plays that they have been able to make. And listen, man, this is not your grandfather's Jaguars or whatever, or your pappy's Jaguars, considering they haven't been around for too long. This team's different, man, and I'm not saying that this team is going to, you know, roll out of bed and win a bunch of games, but this team is going to compete, and this team is going to look like a legitimate legitimate NFL team, and their coaching staff, Doug Peterson, is great. Horrific exit in Philadelphia, but Doug Peterson is awesome. I love Doug Peterson so much, and I love how he is using the pieces of this offense. I love how much he's using James Robinson and Travis Etienne together, because I feel like both he's using them both perfectly in their skill sets. Robinson being a between-the-tackles runner who can also use his speed, and Etienne being a dynamic, you know, pass catcher and dynamic open field type guy. He's really using those different traits that they have. And look, again, they don't have the highest level of weapons, but they went out there to surround Trevor Lawrence with guys that were capable. And one of them is Christian Kirk. And let me tell you, people, Christian Kirk was worth every penny. every single solitary penny they pay that man is worth it, because he is a good receiver. In this offense, he is their clear number one. He gets targets. He can get open. He can make plays. 6 more catches, 78 more yards, 2 more touchdowns today. And Trevor Lawrence, 25 of 30, 235, 2 TDs. Very impressed with them. The Colts, man, they couldn't get out of park today. The biggest, it's not a chuck it in the garbage game, because they're missing Pierce. They're missing Paris Campbell. They're missing Michael Pittman. They're missing their 3 top wide receivers. So it's to an extent, it's like, well, what can you do? But, man, they looked lifeless. They couldn't run the ball. Their O-line couldn't get any push. And Matt Ryan's just throwing the ball to the other team. 16 to 30, 195 yards and 3 picks. Not good. Colts are 0-1-1. They got to figure it out, because this is not the type of start I thought they would have. Especially for some of us in our group that picked them to possibly be a 1-seed contender. Man, bad, bad start for the Colts. They need to turn around quick. Jets, Broncos. The only thing I want to say here, two things. Jets are resilient, and they got good players, man. People don't want to act like that. I do think when Zach Wilson comes back, this team is going to be feisty. Again, I don't know about a playoff berth. Highly doubtful, but this team will be feisty. They got really good players. Shout out to Garrett Wilson having a fantastic day today. Got his first 2 NFL touchdowns today. Garrett Wilson was really, really good for the Jets today. What'd he end up with? 8 catches for 102 yards and 2 touchdowns. He was sensational. Here's the thing that's shocking to me for the Browns in this loss. I didn't think they'd lose a game in this stretch without Deshaun Watson, where Jacoby Brissett was actually really good. Brissett was really good today. He had the one pick at the end, which is a bit unfortunate. He did force the ball, and it didn't give them a chance to go for the Hail Mary. But if he hits that throw, they're set up with another chance for a long Cade York field goal to win. So I don't mind that throw. Other than that, I thought he was really good. Offensively, they moved the ball really, really well. That onside kick, man, like, that's it. That was the game, really. And Amari Cooper didn't go for it, and I don't know how many people are going to get on him for that, but that was rough. Here's the thing, though, that worries me for the Browns, as someone who really does like the Browns a lot. This could be killer for them when we get to the end of the year and we're trying to stack up playoff teams. And it's going to be tight in the AFC. There's a lot of good teams. A loss like today, like, here's the thing. If you win today, you're already 2 games up on the Bengals in your own division. You would have been in sole possession of first place in the division. That would have been big. Just the fact that you're 2 games ahead of Cincinnati, who's probably going to be in that 6-7 seed fight when we get to November, December, you really got to chalk games like this. You got to put games like this in the bag when without Deshaun, because then when Deshaun comes back, then you can have a potential record built up. This is one of the ones that is a real killer to lose. And hopefully for their sake, they can rally and maybe steal one that they aren't supposed to. But, yeah, that's brutal. Now, it does still, man, here's the thing. Their next 2 weeks, still very winnable. They get Pittsburgh at home, and then they go to Atlanta. Very good chance to rebound, try to be 3-1. Then maybe you can be 4-2 after the Browns, after you play the Chargers and the Patriots. Then there's a nasty stretch where you go to Baltimore, host Cincy, to Buffalo, Bucks at home. That's a tough month. But there is a stretch here for the Browns where they could possibly be at 4-2 after 6 games. Then after that, you're just going to try to tread as much water as possible before that Texans game. Because after that game, you have a month stretch of really, really tough football. But you just, the thing for the Browns, they're so good, and they really do have a chance to make a run in the playoffs and be a Super Bowl-type team. They just have to tread water and be good enough when Deshaun comes back to where his uptick in play and him coming back, and I do believe, too, their schedule lightens up a bit at the end of the year, that they can rally up, they can tally off some wins, and they just have to get there. Whatever it is, 9-8, 10-7, that it's going to probably take 9 or 10. It's going to obviously take at least 9, but it'll probably take 10 to get in the AFC, depending on who that 7 spot is. They just got to get there. If they can get there, they got a shot because their roster is amazing and Watson is really good. Niners-Seahawks. Only thing to really talk on here today for this game is I feel bad for Trey Lance, man. He's done for the year, broken ankle. Jimmy G came in and honestly played real well. It was really nice to see Jimmy Garoppolo just step in seamlessly and play pretty solid. And here's the thing. It sucks. It's heartbreaking. But the one thing that is good in this case is that locker room is really behind Jimmy Garoppolo. And they're going to rally to him. And I think this is going to be a situation where maybe even some of the veterans actually feel like they can be more of a contender with Jimmy instead of trying to just bring Trey along. All in all, though, it hurts my heart that Trey's done, and I just hope he gets better, man. I hope that he heals up and is ready to go next year. That was just painful. But for the Niners as a whole, it does not change their dynamic. Their goal is to still win a championship. It's possible. It's absolutely still on the table with Jimmy. So we'll see. Someone's going to be proven right. Someone's going to be proven wrong with this Niners team by the end of the year. And the NFC is so wide open. Who's the best team in the NFC right now? The Bucs? Well, their receiver, like Julio Jones, didn't play today, injury prone. Chris Godwin might have re-aggravated an ACL injury. Did you see how bad they were on offense without those two? All right, Green Bay. How do we know they can respond to any sort of resiliency? The Rams, their O-line might be bad, and they don't have a consistent running game, and it might take them a while. If Allen Robinson, like they need Allen Robinson to develop, and I think he will. He was good today. But like, you know, where do they get the extra offensive weapons from? It's not like last year. You know, can just Cooper Kupp carry them by himself to back to the promised land, back to the Super Bowl? Maybe, but doubtful. Who else in the NFC? The Niners obviously are in there. But, like, outside of that, it's a whole lot of meh. That's why I'm so high on teams like the Vikings and the Eagles right now. I honestly do believe the two best teams in the NFC are playing tomorrow night. Technically tonight when you hear this. Like, that's how open the NFC is. And I really think Minnesota and Philadelphia are better right now than the other teams. Like, it's only seen 1 week, and we'll see a lot more tomorrow. But that's where I'm at right now, and I'm excited for that Monday night game. Bengals-Cowboys. Speaking of not one of the better teams in the NFC, only the Cowboys could have won today's game, man. That was hilarious. I'm not going to talk about. I will say this: the hot take show stuff with Cooper Rush this week is going to be so funny. Oh, it's going to be hilarious. I'm so glad I'm not watching it. It's going to be insufferable. But, skip out Cooper Rush. Cooper Rush might be better than Dak Prescott. However, Skip Bayless talks. Look, man, I want to talk about these issues with the Bengals offense. People are talking about, you know, their lack of deep threats, their dink and dunk possibility, the issues with the O-line. Yeah, right now that's a problem. Their offensive line is still horrendous. Something people don't want to admit, though. Joe Burrow is another culprit of and contributor to the holds on to the ball too long fund, and he needs to figure that out. And some of these sacks are on him, but yes, their O-line is dreadful. But a lot of the stuff right now for them is just schematics. Defenses are playing too high shell. They are playing too deep safeties. They are saying, we're not going to allow you to just burn us down the field with buddy ball go routes to T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. A lot of people weren't ready for that last year to an extent, and it came back to bite him. Listen, man, call it a fluke, call last year whatever you want to call it for Cincinnati. Right now, they just have a lot of stuff they need to figure out, and they are good enough to be able to find ways to battle back and rally back in these games, but they got to find better ways to start, and whether that's coaching or playing, whatever it is, I don't know, But they got to find – they got too many good players to be just stifled. Like last year, the Chiefs, people took away their deep attacks. You got a lot of stuff, man. You got a lot of high-level players. You easily have the best offensive room in the league, I think, weapons-wise. With quarterback to – from quarterback to receivers to running back. I don't know how many teams, if any, can match what you guys got. Too many good players to just be this average early in games. Have better stuff on script. Do better stuff to not just be stifled by some basic defensive things. You're better than that. I'm gonna be exactly as hard on teams like the Bengals as I was on the Chiefs last year. You can't allow that shit to just happen. You gotta be better than that. And that's where the Bengals are stuck right now. They're letting too many things offensively break them down, and it's very fixable, but right now they're just not. They got to figure it out, and hopefully they can do that going forward. Lastly, on this game, Micah Parsons is a savage. He's easily the, well, not easily, because Minka Fitzpatrick's right there with him, but they're number one and two in the DPOY case. They're number one and two in the DPOY room right now for 2 weeks, if that means anything. Micah Parsons is so good, and I guess maybe on a weekly basis we're just going to chime in to tell you how good Micah Parsons is, because Micah Parsons might have single-handedly won that game for the Cowboys today with how he was wrecking it all season, all night long, every series. What he was doing was incredible. Lastly, Broncos-Texans. Guys, Nathaniel Hackett's not good. He might be bad. They won't, but is this a hot take? The Broncos maybe should fire him already. He's really bad, man. Like, if you just go watch, like, there was a stretch, there was a part in the game where they were in plus territory, and on third and inches, they ran, like, a tight end run where he had an option to pitch the ball, and it was fourth and two, and instead of kicking the field goal, which was, like, 54 yards, they took a delay game, which would have made it a 59-yarder. And instead of kicking the field goal, after a week ago, you chose to kick a 64-yarder over going forward on fourth and five, a 59-yarder with a kicker who can make it in a stadium that it makes much more sense to try those longer kicks because altitude or whatever. They take that delay game and make it a 59-yard field goal, and they punt it. Safe to say that Nathaniel Hackett doesn't know what he's doing. Going to end on that note. That's all I got. They're a mess. And the Broncos, their red zone woes today, again, bad play calling, bad design. Russell Wilson's just missing guys standing wide open in front of him. The Broncos are an absolute mess, man, and it's very, very bad to see if you're someone who supports the Broncos. I'm indifferent on it, so I think it's funny. But the more good teams in the league, the more I'm happy because I'm a fan of the NFL. I always say I am Rob Lowe with the NFL hat on in the stands. That is me. But, you know, I also like to – it also amuses me when teams are incompetent. It makes me laugh. Other than the Bears, because they're just, when they're bad, it's sad, because they're just so much worse than most teams in the league. But hey, it's all right. It's all fun. 2 weeks in the books in the NFL, and we're just getting started. I'm having a great time. Hope you guys are too. This has been fun. This episode is brought to you by Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill in Moline and Davenport. Chase away your Sunday scaries at Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill this season. Located in the Belgium neighborhood of 7th Street in Moline, Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill is home to some of the Quad City's best food and drink specials. On Sunday, there's no better place to be. Clint's is serving up 75-cent wings and $4 Bloody Marys all day. And is your favorite team playing in those out-of-market games? Well, you'll never miss a second of the action on one of their 10 screens with NFL Sunday Ticket. And after you've had your wing and bloody fix, Finish off your football watching experience with one of their famous Quad City style pop pizzas. And folks, they know pizza. They've been spinning QC style pies for the last 22 years. So make Clint's part of your Sunday football routine. Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill, 7th Street in Moline. And also, Clint's is now serving up their famous pizza and fried chicken on the Iowa side of the river as well. Clint's Pizza House and Chicken opens up daily at 4 p.m. so everyone in the Quad Cities can enjoy their QC-style pizza and Henny Penny fried chicken. That's Clint Pizza House and Chicken, 7th Street Moline, and 1601 West 3rd Street in Davenport. Shout out to the boys, the Four Fantasy Sake boys today. Got to see Doug and Chris. I haven't seen Chris in a while. And Nick and Co. today on the show. Come on and do our best picks of the week. God, we sucked all weekend. But we're going to be so much more dialed in next week, I promise. Mac and I are going to come back, and we're going to wreck shop. Mac and I are tied now. We're 7 a lot and 1. But we are going to be better than that on Wednesday when we record, I promise. So, the only win for me this weekend was the Packers, oddly enough. Kind of a horrendous beat for the Ravens, considering they blew it. Commanders never had a shot. Miami's offense was terrible. BYU got killed. UTSA was in it all game, and then they died. But anywho, shout out to the Four Fantasy Sake boys. It was a pleasure to be on the show with them today. I think that's going to be an every Sunday thing. I'm going to hop on there. Check them out every Sunday. Great content, especially if you're into fantasy football. Other than that, two great Monday night games tomorrow. Tonight, technically, whenever you're listening. Well, when you'll be listening. Technically, it'll be tonight. We'll be on. We'll wrap both of them up, and then we'll have the Elite Eight. I have no idea how I'm going to do this Elite Eight this week. I know where I'm going to have the top of it, but it could very well be changed depending on my number 1 and number 4 teams. My number 1, 4, and 6 team are all playing tomorrow. A lot is on the line. So we'll see. Can't wait, though. Those two games are going to be great. Titans-Bills should be fun, even if the Titans are a mess, which I think they're going to play really well tomorrow. And the Bills just obviously are a blast to watch, and they're great. And then Vikings-Eagles, again, I think they might be my two best teams in the NFC right now, so tomorrow's going to be great. All right, I'm done. Until then, we finally moved into the new place, which is technically the old place, but, you know, we'll have Danny on eventually on the pod. You got a lot of you guys probably know him. Don't know when, but he'll be on, and we'll be carving it up. Until next time, this is technically from the office, but we don't have a cool catchphrase for it yet. But as always, if you ain't got the game, this has been the Educated Ignorance Podcast, excuse me. If you ain't got the game, you best pass the sticks. We will see you tomorrow with a new episode for the Elite Eight pod and the Monday night football recap. Double trouble. Can't wait for those two games and to give you our Elite Eight. Thank you all for listening. We will see you next time. Until then, see you tomorrow. We are out.